existí. Para mover la tierra a los hombres y sobrevivir. Para curar mi corazón y a la mente dejarla fluir. Para el espíritu sanar y dejarlo llegar al fin.
For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst, and Felix Contreras is out today. We have a guest host, Mr. Gustavo Arellano. Gustavo Arellano writes Ask a Mexican for the OC Weekly. It's a syndicated column, and he's a friend of the show.
Hola.
Hey, Gustavo. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, bien. Listo para tocar música chida.
Gustavo, probably one of the hardest shows that we've ever had to do is our Latin American protest song. And it was so hard to put together because there's simply such a wealth of Latin American socio-political protest music. And we did get a ton of listener comments and listener correspondence saying, oh, you forgot to put this song in, next time put this song in. Yo no nací. What we're listening to right now is a song from Mexico that was associated with the Yo Soy 132 student protest movement. And it's called Un Derecho de Nacimiento, A Right of Birth. And it features some of the really important young Mexican artists. Natalia Lafourcade, Carla Morrison, Manuel Torreblanca, Sol Pereira. Everyone who's anyone.
Es un derecho de nacimiento, es el motor de nuestro movimiento, porque reclamo libertad de pensamiento, si no lo pido es porque estoy muriendo. Es un derecho de nacimiento, comer los frutos que dejan los sueños, en una sola voz y un sentimiento, y que este grito limpie nuestro viento.
Voy a crear un canto para poder exigir. Que no le quiten a los pobres lo que tanto les costó construir. Para que el oro robado no aplaste nuestro porvenir. Y a los que tienen de sobra no les cueste tanto repartir.
What's amazing about this song, for me at least, is, you know, for the past decade or so, you've had most of the, you know, Latin alternative musicians coming from Mexico really not paying attention to sort of the political, what was going on politically in Mexico. And also musically, they were going for more modern sounds. So you basically had musicians in Mexico that sounded just like the Strokes. And what good is that? But what's amazing with this song, the way it starts, it goes directly into some of that Afro-Mexican indigenous rhythms. It almost sounds like what Café Tacuba and Maldita Vecindad were doing back in the late 80s.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is what the Mexican Proceso magazine referred to as Generación Zoe, which, you know, it's Zoe is a very popular Mexican indie band. And, you know, that they were talking about a generation of kids who were just into this, like, kind of emo music and not not really into the political aspect of things. But I think, you know, anybody who believed in Generación Zoe was definitely maybe pleasantly surprised by the Yo Soy 132 movement, which was really a very strong and powerful uprising of young people in Mexico in response to the last elections and claims of fraud, of widespread fraud in the last elections and corruption.
Yo soy 132 means I am number 132, and that refers to there was Enrique Peña Nieto, who at the time was a candidate for the PRI party, the old dinosaurs that, you know, ruled Mexico for 75 years. He made an appearance at a college, and he got some very heated questions from the students. And this was, you know, Iberoamérica University, so, you know, one of the higher, you know, sort of like, I don't want to call it the Yale or Harvard. Let's call it the Brown.
Okay.
Let's call it the Brown University of Mexico. And after the sort of the discussion that he had there, his friends in the media and also
That he had to leave, like he had to leave through a window.
Exactly. You know, he had to leave through a window. That's how crazy it got. And then afterwards, he started making the excuse, oh, you know, those weren't real students. Those were people that other parties brought in to pretend to be students. So in response, those very students, they made a YouTube video where they showed their student IDs. Ended up being 131 students participated in that. And then on Twitter, somebody put the hashtag, yo soy 132.
I am
the 130.
Right. I am the 132nd student.
Exactly. And then after that, it just exploded. And yeah, that Generacion Zoe just, they were looking for something. Obviously, Zoe, by the way, is an awesome band.
Yeah, no,
but. But yet, you know, there was like this rumbling discontent in Mexican youth for so long, and they didn't know how to articulate it. And then they see this clown in Peña Nieto leaving through a window, and that's what galvanized them. And then from there, there's been mass rallies and this great song, which is sort of, you know, their rallying cry.
Absolutely. And I was actually in Mexico helping with NPR's coverage of the elections there. And I saw when they presented this song on stage at a Yo Soy 132 concert. And it was definitely a very powerful moment. I remember it was raining and it wasn't ideal concert weather. And still, El Zócalo was packed and a sea of young people and definitely this vibe that, you know, it's like we care about what's happening and we need something to give. Something's got to give, you know?
Exactly.
Well, since we are in Mexico, you picked a pretty iconic band and a pretty iconic song, which is Molotov is the band, and the song is Voto Latino.
You start to run, yeah.
Yeah, Molotov is this great band from Mexico City. I think this might be the only song that we could actually play because they're notorious for being very vulgar, very juvenile, very funny, cracked me up. And so it's sort of like a rap metal, coming from Mexico with the token white guy. Instead of the token Mexican, they have the token white guy. And the one thing that's always been great about them is that they're very, very political. And in this song in particular, they're talking about that Latino vote, about the importance of Latinos, that they need a vote one way or another, but also the ultimate, you know, Latino voters being used again and again and again, whether you're a Latino here in the United States or you're a Mexicano in Mexico or you're in Argentina, politicians are always going to play around with it.
I love Molotov. It's weird. I have like a love-hate relationship because sometimes I'm like, es como muy infantil, you know?
So yeah.
I just kind of think of them as like the Latin Beastie Boys.
Yeah, exactly. They're the court jesters of Latin America. And, you know, it's always the, it's like the traditional use of the fool in you know, royal courts. He's the biggest idiot in the room, but he's also the only one who's allowed to tell the absolute truth, no matter how ruthless it may be. You know, the other classic political song that they did was Que no te haga bobo Jacobo,
right,
which means basically don't let Jacobo make a fool out of you. And Jacobo refers to the legendary, infamous, longtime anchor for Televisa, who was basically a puppet for the PRI party for so many years.
And you know what's interesting with Molotov is that I found out about Molotov when I was a kid in Argentina. And a lot of this stuff, like, Que no te haga bobo Jacobo, it kind of, you know, the actual what they were talking about went over my head, because obviously I wasn't up on Mexican politics, but I still got the essence of what they were talking about, because, you know, in Latin America and in the rest of the world, really, there's always a Jacobo. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Oh,
there's
yeah.
always a guy who's some corrupt news anchor, or who is, you know, a political party who's using and manipulating the vote. So it didn't matter that I didn't know exactly what they were talking about. I just got the gist of it, and I really embraced it.
And not only that, I mean, this particular song is, you know, you could dance to it. It's almost like a Cuban danzón or a little bit of a cha-cha-cha. And it's one of their lighter songs in terms of what's coming on with the music. And No Te Haga Bobo Jacobo, anyone in the world, you don't even have to understand the lyrics, let alone get the nuances of Mexican politics. You want to mosh to their songs. You want to dance around to it. And then later on, maybe after the fifth or sixth time where you get socked by an elbow in the mosh pit, maybe... maybe you just stop and wonder, like, oh, they're talking about media manipulation by political parties. That could happen in my country, too. In fact, I know this one person or this particular anchor. So, yeah, your point's perfect.
I was in that mosh pit back at the Vive Latino, and the elbow in the eye thing is very true. I mean, people, you know, this was in El DF in Mexico City. People go pretty crazy over Molotov. But, yeah, props, because, you know, a lot of times there's songs that are politically or socially really conscious, and you want to like them, you know, because they have such a heart. But musically, you know, they have that heal the world vibe.
Oh, yeah.
But Molotov gets it right. Like, they're doing this really cutting and sarcastic and poignant commentary, but you also want to dance and mosh to it. But something that is not totally lame, which is a really awesome song, and you brought in, is El Circo, or The Circus, by another... Are they Mexican or Mexican-American?
No, they're Mexican, straight up Sinaloa.
Los Tigres del Norte, the Tigers of the North. This is El Circo, the circus. And we'll listen to a little bit of it, and then let's talk about the lyrics. El Circo, it translates into the circus. The lyrics say Carlos and Raúl were owners of a circus, and they're referring to former Mexican president Carlos Salinas de Gortari and his brother Raúl. And, you know, then they go on to say Raúl became a millionaire. They say because he's a magician. He made all that money disappear from his brother's hands and into a Swiss bank account.
It is one of the most brutal songs lyrically you'll ever hear, and also not just the most cynical but also the most realistic. At the very end of the song, the last lyric says, you know, talks about, okay, this circo is gone, the circus is gone, hasta que llegue el otro circo y otra vez la misma tranza, until the next circus comes along and again the same trickery. It's basically the same theme of won't get fooled again, like meet the new boss same as the old boss. And but yeah, they directly call out the Gortari administration, which everyone loathes in Mexico. He's probably the most hated man since Porfirio Diaz, just absolutely despised. And for the average American listener, though, they're listening to the song, and hey, it's a nice little happy polka. That's the genius of Los Tigres del Norte. Going back to what we were talking about, Molotov, not all their songs are political, but they, you know, they definitely work in that political angle. But for them, first and foremost, they realize that their audience is working class Mexicans, or Central Americans for that matter, and they come to their concerts to dance and to dance alone. They don't want any politics thrown in them. They know what the lyrics are. They just want to dance. And so even musically, I mean, you get that two-tone or that two-step there. Oh, one of my all-time favorite groups and one of the best musical groups of any language of the past 25 years.
I was talking to a friend the other day about this idea of which we also talk on Alt Latino about this a lot, but about this idea of Latin music being simultaneously so upbeat and danceable sometimes, with lyrics that are stunningly dramatic and sad and heart-wrenching. We were talking specifically about salsa. She's a professional salsa dancer. And we were talking about how you have these salsa songs, which to someone who doesn't know Spanish, you know, they're happy and sexy salsa songs. And then they're talking about a slave rebellion. You know, and I don't know. I have a whole theory about, I'm no sociologist, but I have a theory about among Latinos and Latin Americans, the normalcy of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that tragedy is a normal thing in our cultures, which, you know, and then the idea of these extremes living together in everyday life, you know, the extreme of tragedy and racism and corruption and of happiness.
It's like the old Smokey Robinson and Miracle song, you know, I got to dance to keep from crying. Or I think the Beach Boys actually also covered that. On that note, I think the most extreme song in terms of topic versus danceability is Willy Colón's El Gran Varón, which is this, oh my God, such a, one of the most tragic songs imaginable, written in the, I think, the early 90s, talking about a son from a Latin American family who grows up, has a sex change. His dad is this really macho man, completely shuns him. He ends up dying of AIDS. And this is at a time where AIDS, where people are still treating AIDS as the plague. No one wanted to associate with them. And then Willy Colón, the great New Yorker salsa star, he makes this amazing statement saying, hey, you know, he who is without sin cast the first stone. We have to have not only tolerance, but acceptance. And then the music, though, oh my God, it is one of the downest jams, like smoking salsa hits you'll ever have. I mean, it's an amazing song, absolutely amazing.
Un gran varón al extranjero se fue Simón, lejos de casa se le olvidó aquel sermón. Cambió la forma de caminar, usaba falda, lápiz labial y un carterón. Cuenta la gente que un día el papá fue a visitarlo sin avisar, vaya qué error. Y una mujer le habló al pasar, le dijo hola, ¿qué tal papá? ¿Cómo te va? No me conoces, yo soy Simón, Simón tu hijo, el gran varón.
We're listening to songs about protests, politics, and society in Latin America. And Gustavo, this is probably a good time to go back in time and look at the roots of some of this music and how it starts. And I think we can't talk about the roots of Latin American protest music without going to Chile and without talking about Víctor Jara.
Víctor Jara is the martyr of Latin American protest music. Here was this just troubadour. So he's coming from the Canto Nuevo movement of the 1960s, which kind of matches the folklore protest movement that's going on in the United States. Here you have these simple singer-songwriter troubadours backed by guitar, sometimes backed by other music, and they're just playing songs of, you know, El Pueblo Vencerá, you know, the people, the movement will win. And in Chile in the 1960s, the movement did win with the administration of Salvador Allende, the Chilean president. Of course, Americans know what happened to Allende. He eventually got killed, the country got took over by the regime of Agustin Pinochet. Pinochet, of course, immediately starts arresting and killing and disappearing thousands of protesters. What Americans don't know, though, is probably the most prominent victim of this was Victor Jara. And also, you want to talk about the cruelty of the Pinochet regime. Here's this man who, you know, wowed the world with his music. So the Pinochet regime, they break his hands. They literally break his hands so he can't play music anymore. And then they execute him. That's about as horrible of torture as you can imagine.
Not only that, then after, I think it was like 44 shots, they dump his body in a shanty town, which is something a lot of these dictatorships used to do. They would put the body in a very public place just to instill horror in the population. Like, look, this could happen to you. Sing a song like that, and this will happen to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tragedy with him. But of course, here we are all these years later. Now everyone knows the horrors of the Pinochet regime. The only people who are apologists for him are pretty sick individuals. While the music of Jara, Pinochet unwittingly immortalized him. Jara would have still been popular if he were still alive. But as always, when death takes you at a young age, you become immortalized. So Jara still to this day remains the icon of all conscious people in Latin America and of course across the world.
Let's listen to El Derecho de Vivir en Paz, or The Right to Live in Peace, by Víctor Jara.
El derecho de vivir, poeta Ho Chi Minh, que golpea de Vietnam a toda la humanidad, ningún cañón borrará el surco de tu arrozal. El derecho de vivir en paz. Indochina es el lugar más allá del ancho mar, donde revientan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor. El derecho de vivir en paz. Que funde todo el clamor, el de
You know, Gustavo, as I was preparing for this show and I was reading about the fate of some of these artists, I don't know, last night I was preparing for it and I did have this moment of really deep sadness about, I mean, obviously this always makes me sad, but I just had this moment of, how would you say congoja in English?
Is it like, I don't know.
Like an extreme sadness about some of the brutality that that we Latin American people have endured, you know?
Melancholy doesn't even begin to address that. Geez, that's a good one. Maybe we need to ask a Latin American question.
Yeah, let's outsource that question to our listeners. How do you translate congoja? But I was recently on WXPN's World Cafe with David Dai talking about Nueva Canción style, and he asked me if these types of songs helped the situation in any way, and my response, and I want to get your thoughts on it, my response was that I think these artists like Victor Jara, like Chico Buarque, Silvio Rodriguez, are symptoms of a society that is actually healthy. I mean, they're like the antibodies. You know, like if you're healthy, then you will develop this reaction.
The reason why there is such a fount of protest music across Latin America, I almost view it not only that, but as a barometer of how the society is. When things are really bad, you're going to get more of this protest music in all sorts of manifestations, whether it's the Tropicalia movement of Brazil, whether it's just the Corrido movement of Mexico, Canción Nueva from Latin America during the 1960s. And yes, people take solace in those songs. It's part of their rally. It does bring solace. It's wonderful to hear these songs, to get motivated, to have your spirit soar. When you do have problems in wherever you are, problems in the world, you can't always just live in misery. Even the most downtrodden people on earth, they are going to have some sort of cultural outlet that allows them to take joy in life, no matter how hard it may be. That's what happens in Latin America, but it's not such a dour situation. What also happens here is that this not only gives you solace it gives you comfort, but also moves you, uplifts you, wants you to, it inspires you to do something about the situation where you are, one way or another. And of course, every person decides how motivated or, how much they're going to do to try to better the society that they're in.
And probably one of the songs that moves me the most in this time period is the song Cálice, or Chalice. Let's hear that song and then talk about the lyrics, which possibly some of the most poetic, subversive, and emotionally stunning and stirring lyrics that I've heard in the Nueva Canción genre. Ooh.
Afasta de mim esse cálice,
Pai, afasta de mim esse cálice,
Pai, afasta de mim esse cálice de vinho tinto de sangue, Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice, Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice, Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice de vinho tinto de sangue. Como beber dessa bebida amarga, tragar a dor, engolir a labuta. Mesmo calada a boca, resta o peito. Silêncio na cidade não se escuta. De que me vale ser filho da santa? Melhor seria ser filho da outra. Outra realidade menos morta. Tanta mentira, tanta força bruta.
Pai,
Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice.
Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice.
Pai,
afasta de mim esse cálice
de vinho tinto de sangue.
Como é difícil acordar calado, se na calada da noite eu me dano. Quero lançar um grito desumano, que é uma maneira de ser escutado. Esse silêncio todo me atordoa, atordoado eu permaneço atento.
Cálice is a chalice, and they're telling a story of the agony in the garden, which is a biblical story in which, you know, Jesus, immediately after the Last Supper, he feels overwhelmed by this congoja, sadness and anguish, and he says, you know, my Father, if possible, let this chalice pass me by, but nevertheless, let it be as you, not as I would have it. So that's cálice. But in Portuguese, cálice is shut up.
Yeah.
So they're saying cálice, cálice, chalice, chalice, but they're also saying cálice, cálice, shut up, shut up. And they're protesting the censorship of the 1964 coup, but disguising it as a biblical tale. And the lyrics are just absolutely stunning. You know, here's an excerpt. He's saying, I want to launch an inhuman scream, which is one way to be heard. Perhaps the world is not small, nor is life a given fact. I want to invent my own sin. I want to die of my own poison. I want to lose your mind for good. My head losing your wisdom. I want to smell diesel fumes.
Nem seja vida um fato consumado. Quero inventar o meu próprio pecado. Quero morrer do meu próprio veneno. Quero perder de vez tua cabeça. Minha cabeça perder teu juízo. Quero cheirar fumaça de óleo diesel. Me embriagar até que alguém me esqueça.
Something horrific about that last line is that Chico Buarque, a friend of his, her son was killed by the dictatorship in a very gory way, but basically he was forced to inhale diesel fumes from a car until he died. And so he's referencing that. And this is probably one of Chico's most subversive songs. And, you know, eventually he had to exile.
Yeah, like so many of the artists that today in Brazil, they're lionized as, you know, as heroes. Caetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil, you know, those are the two most famous examples. They were actually exiled. Anyone who was artistic in Brazil during the era of the dictatorship and dared speak out against the government in one way or another, or even, you didn't even have to speak out. All you had to do is have any sort of popularity. You had to leave under threat of death.
One singer who we got a lot of listener feedback about this, he was the hardest for me to cut from our last show on political protest songs, because he's a personal favorite of mine, is Silvio Rodriguez from Cuba, from approximately the same era. And yeah, we cut him from the last show, and we got a lot of listener flack for that.
Oh, I can imagine.
This is the song Ojalá, or I. How would you say Ojalá? I hope so. If
hopefully, I would say Ojalá. You know, Ojalá, or either hopefully or may it.
Right, Ojalá. There's an interesting etymology to the word Ojalá. I think it literally means if Allah wills.
It's basically from the Arabic inshallah.
Ojalá que las hojas no te toquen el cuerpo cuando caigan, para que no las puedas convertir en cristal. Ojalá que la lluvia deje de ser milagro que baja por tu cuerpo. Ojalá que la luna pueda salir sin ti. Ojalá que la tierra no te bese los pasos. Ojalá se te acabe la mirada constante la palabra precisa, la sonrisa perfecta. Ojalá pase algo que te borra de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte, para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones. Ojalá que la aurora no dé gritos que caigan en mi espalda. Ojalá que tu nombre se le olvide a esa voz. Ojalá las paredes no retengan tu ruido de camino cansado. Ojalá que el deseo se vaya atrás de ti, a tu viejo gobierno de difuntos y flores. Ojalá se te acabe la mirada constante, la palabra precisa, la sonrisa perfecta. Ojalá pase algo que te borre de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte, para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones. Ojalá pase algo que te borre de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte, para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones.
You know, Silvio Rodríguez was very big in the 60s and 70s, but I, when I was a kid, my parents used to play him as a lullaby, like El Unicornio Azul. he's very controversial. I saw him playing in D.C. recently, which was a big milestone. You know, and the reason he's controversial is because he's been vocally supportive of the Castro regime.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Castro. In that sense, that made him a favorite of leftist activists during the 70s and 80s up until this day. I mean, anybody who's been in the progressive movement over the past 25 years knows this song, knows that beautiful, the plucking of the guitar. But because he is such a fervent supporter of Castro, of course, the Cuban American exile community despises him and won't acknowledge his, say what you will about his politics. But this is also an accomplished musician. This is somebody who is just, has wonderful wordplay with his, with his songs, with his lyrics. But because of his politics, yeah, so a lot of people are not going to like him and are immediately going to dismiss him no matter what the talent may be.
And when he came to D.C. a few years ago, there was definitely a lot of protest and pushback from the Cuban-American community about that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Now, this song, Ojalá, is one of my favorites of his. I've read that it's about his first love, a woman named Emilia, when he was 18. I don't know,
Hey, if it's not about politics, it's about love. You know that in Latin America.
But to me, this is, music is in the ear of the listener. It's people interpret it differently. To me, this has always been a song about politics. And I guess to a lot of people, when I was kind of reading through the internet, yeah, he says it's about this girl, Emilia, but everyone seems to think it's about a political regime, especially given lines. He's saying, I hope I never have to see you again. May your face be erased forever, and your old government of dead people and flowers. Is that, I don't know, that doesn't sound like a love song to me.
Well, maybe it's like Dylan's Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, like more like a send-off and a very bad send-off, but still there was some love involved in there.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
And you brought up earlier Central America. Central America is something that was missing from our previous political protest song, which is why I brought in Roque Dalton from El Salvador. This is Roque Dalton's Poema de Amor.
Los que ampliaron el canal de Panamá son los guanacos. Los que repararon la flota del Pacífico en las bases de California son los guanacos. Los mismos que se pudrieron en las cárceles de Guatemala, México,
Honduras, Nicaragua,
por ladrones, por contrabandistas, por estafadores, por hambrientos. Los siempre sospechosos de todo, permito remitirle al interfecto por esquinero sospechoso y con el agravante de ser salvadoreño, de Ribete, Santaneco, para variar del barrio La Cruz. Las que llenaron los bares y burdeles de todos los puertos, haciendas y capitales de la zona.
Los sembradores de maíz en plena selva extranjera.
Los que lloraron borrachos por el himno nacional bajo el ciclón del Pacífico o las nieves del norte. Los primeros en sacar el cuchillo.
Los reyes de la página roja.
Los que nunca sabe nadie de dónde son. Los mejores artesanos del mundo. Los que murieron de paludismo en el infierno de las bananas. Arrimados, los mendigos, los marihuaneros, guanacos, hijos de puta, eternos indocumentados. Los hacenlo todo, los véndelo todo, los cómelo todo. Los tristes, más tristes del mundo, mis compatriotas, mis hermanos. Los arrimados, los mendigos, los marihuaneros, guanacos, hijos de puta, eternos indocumentados. Los hacenlo todo, los véndelo todo, los cómelo todo. Los tristes, más compatriotas, mis hermanos.
He was an artist right before the Salvadoran Civil War really took off. In fact, he ended up getting murdered by the powers that be for his poetry, for his music. And again, another wonderful musician cut short by the brutality of politics in Latin America.
Let's move forward a little bit to the 80s. This song came out in the early 80s in Argentina. This is Charlie Garcia and the song Los Dinosaurios, or The Dinosaurs. As an Argentine, it's very hard for me to listen to this song.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Charlie Garcia is an icon of Argentine rock, and Los Dinosaurios, or The Dinosaur, is a remembrance of all the people who disappeared during the dictatorship in the 70s and early 80s. And what he's saying is basically, your friends on the street, they could disappear. That person talking on the radio, he could disappear. Everyone can disappear. And really what characterized not only the Argentine dictatorship, but dictatorships across Latin America is disappearing. And
yeah.
I remember one of the times I went back to Argentina in the last 10 years, I sat down and talked to a family friend whose mother disappeared. And one of the things he told me that really stuck by me is that ever since Greek mythology, what the ultimate indignity for a human being is to not be allowed a proper burial. That is what distinguishes us from animals. We bury our dead and we revere them. And to be taken away it's to be treated like an animal.
It's to be treated even worse. It's to be treated as if you never even existed as an entity. They just toss you either out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, or, you know, with what happened with Hara, you just throw you into a ditch. Literally, it's what the Nazis did to all the people that they killed. They just, at least in the Nazis' case, they killed people, and, you know, they were pretty upfront about it. With the Argentine government, you know, being the most notorious, one day you were there, the next day, literally, you disappeared. They never said anything about what happened to you. They didn't even tell you why this person disappeared. They just disappeared. Cruelty at its, you know, at its most disgusting, really.
And it's a sentence that carries on through generations, because this guy who was a son of someone who disappeared, you know, he said that one of the things that happens to him, even 30 years later, when he gets home and he sees a light on at his house, he thinks, maybe my mom came home. And I asked him, I mean, this is a grown man, and I asked him, do you think you will ever be at peace? Because there was this excavation team of forensic archaeologists who was digging up a mass grave, and there was a possibility that his mother would be found. And I said, do you think, what if she's found? Do you think you will ever have peace?
Closure.
And he said, no, I will never have peace, ever, never. And to hear a grown man say that, it's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other, you know, vicious thing about disappearing somebody, is that psychological torture that you inflict on not just the immediate family, but anyone. It could be you who's going to be disappeared next. And this person, you don't really know if this person is dead. Ultimately, you don't really know. And so it gives you that, you know, cruel, faint glimmer of hope that will always torture you for the rest of your life. It's, thank God no one, you know, I never had that experience. But so many of my Argentinian friends, almost all of them, one way or another, still have to go through that.
You picked a song to end the show today that is a little more upbeat. This is Juan Luis Guerra, Ojalá que llueva café. I hope it rains coffee. Tell me a little bit about this song.
So Juan Luis Guerra is one of the masters of the merengue form, or merengue and more bachata, of the Dominican Republic. And so his lyrics, first and foremost, he makes you dance. That's all that matters. He also made probably the greatest love song in the history of love songs, Burbujas de Amor. Mm. Oh, my God. Like,
I get tingly thinking about that song.
All women in the world, when they hear the lyrics, they get tingly.
Well, but
the
great, yeah.
It's true. It's a beautiful song. Oh, my God. Gosh, you know, as a man, you could only wish of making something like that. But more importantly, with Guerra, he was also this great social satirist who would take, you know, seemingly simple lyrics and spin these scenarios of life in the Dominican Republic and in life in Santo Domingo, and create this, you know, fantastical. Yeah, I hate to use the term magic realism, because you always go toward that in Latin America. But really, in this song, you know, Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, may it rain coffee out in the fields, and then, you know, may there be a storm of, what is it, yuca, imame. It's just so evocative. And ultimately, though, the reason he wrote it, it was a commentary on the coming presidential elections. And he was basically saying, this is the guy we should all vote for, because he can create this this harvest for us that will make us as Dominicans much, you know, put us in a better situation
because
in this world.
Some of the food crisis that the island was going through.
Exactly. But again, you know, ultimately, this is just a great song that people could dance to. But it probably became more famous when Café Tacuba, the great, you know, rockeros from Mexico, they made their own version of it with a son huapango middle. Ooh. With the fiddle just going crazy all around the board. And most, in fact, it basically became their signature song, to the point where most Mexicanos, they don't even know that it originally was a bachata song by Juan Luis Guerra.
Well, let's listen to the original. And Gustavo, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time, and this was a very good conversation. Thank you.
No, gracias for having me. Anytime. It was wonderful.
Will you come back again soon?
Cuando quiera.
Bárbaro, buenísimo. Hablamos pronto. Chicos, this is Ojalá que llueva café. I hope it rains coffee.
Caiga un aguacero de lluvia. cielo una harina de queso blanco y al sur una montaña de berro y miel. Oh, 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 ojalá que llueva café.
I want to remind our listeners that you can hear every single song that we played in today's show on our website. That's npr.org/altlatino. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And chicos, don't forget to check out our 24-hour radio stream where you can hear every single song we've ever played on Alt Latino on rotation. It's actually a pretty awesome stream, so no se olviden de checar eso. I want to give a special thanks to Stacy Abbott and to our producer, Jessica Goldstein. You're listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. Felix, come back soon.
Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto hay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en Villa Vázquez oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva hay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café.
Ojalá que llueva café. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo. Sembrar un alto cerro de trigo y mapué. Baja por la colina de arroz trañado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha y pipizale. Sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto. Oh,
ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en los montones oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
ojalá que llueva café. Pa' que todos los niños canten en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Pa' que la romana oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ay, ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, ay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café.